In an election race that set new records for fundraising and drew the nation's attention to Wisconsin, there was a decisive winner.
Our state is taking a step forward to a better and brighter future where our rights and freedoms will be protected.
That was Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz talking last night in Milwaukee. The AP called the state Supreme Court race for her just under an hour after polls closed. A much closer race was the special election for a seat in Wisconsin's 8th Senate District, which could give Republicans in the state Senate a powerful tool. We're going to check out the results, what they mean for Wisconsin, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What responses do you have to the outcomes of yesterday's elections, especially the Supreme Court one? What do you want to know? What questions do you have? How did you vote? Did it work smoothly for you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob.
Well, once again, we've been here before, Sean. Wisconsin at the center of national attention for an election. Same old, or was this even bigger than we've seen in the past?
We tell ourselves that every election is bigger than the last, you know? So, and I really do think this was a very big election because of what was at stake. Mm-hmm. I just also am realistic and know that probably in 2024, getting close to November, we'll be saying the same thing. But this was big, yes.
We've been hearing the news about turnout in the election, setting a record for these nonpartisan races. Talk about the big turnout around the state.
Yeah, there were more than 1.8 million people who voted in the Supreme Court election. So to put that in context, if you were in Wisconsin in 2008, there was a Supreme Court election that was extremely high turnout for the time. It was a high stakes election. You know, we were saying a lot of the same stuff back then. This was after former Republican Governor Scott Walker had signed his landmark union bargaining law in Act 10. And it was kind of viewed as a referendum on Walker, David Prosser, the conservative, versus Joanne Kloppenburg, the liberal. That was 1.5 million people that voted in that race, which was at the time the Super Bowl of judicial elections, kind of. This one was 1.8 million people. So around 38% of turnout. I mean, you're getting up close to like gubernatorial level turnout there when you're talking that. It was actually 39% in this race. That's very high. And it just shows you how energized people were in this campaign, and particularly on the Protasiewicz side, which, you know, she had a lopsided victory, about 11 percentage points.
We often look at the geography of voting in Wisconsin, look at trends for how regions change and who they support over time. So far, Sean, anything striking you there?
Well, I mean, Protasiewicz won a lot of counties. I'm not saying for a Democrat, I'd say, because the Democratic vote is often so focused on the bigger urban counties. And that was definitely the case this time. She did expand her reach a little bit more. I kind of look at the last few elections that we've had in Wisconsin, the last several elections we've had in Wisconsin, in the same way. This Dane County vote machine, it just gets more and more powerful. It is a fast-growing county. I mean, the population is growing here, and the intensity of the Democratic vote is growing in Dane County. And because of that, it's having a larger and larger say in statewide elections. You're also seeing this other trend where the wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, the powerful suburban Republican districts that used to counteract Dane County, are continuing a slide to the left. They are still Republican counties, but they are not the Republican counties of a decade ago, not by a long shot. I mean, if you look at Ozaukee County, north of Milwaukee County, Dan Kelly only got 52% of the vote there. It's you know, dang near blue in that county, which, you know, tell us that 10 years ago, we would have thought, no way. But here we are.
Talking to WPR Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, looking at yesterday's election results, especially for state Supreme Court. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of the campaign? What swayed your vote one way or another? Did you see lots and lots of ads? Were you sick of seeing lots and lots of ads in this race? What led you to vote, if you're willing to share, the way that you did? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Sean, you mentioned that Prosser-Cloppenburg race, seen by many as a referendum on Governor Walker and Act 10 and things like this. What are your thoughts on the issues in this race? A lot of people, I think, around the country have looked at Wisconsin and said this is a race about abortion and abortion rights.
If you talk to Janet Protasiewicz's supporters, it seems like that was the first issue they always mentioned when they were asked to frame the race. They talked about it being about abortion rights. They talked about it being about redistricting. You know, they want to get rid of the state's Republican-drawn legislative maps. And then if there was a third issue, it would be just who's in control of the court when the 2024 presidential election rolls around, because we saw in 2020, after that election, there was just a barrage of lawsuits that landed on the state Supreme Court's door. And, you know, the courts ruled 4-3 against Republicans in those lawsuits, but that is a narrow margin. And so this race by Democrats was billed as a way to ensure that when those lawsuits are filed in 2024, we don't know that they're going to be over, but that we know that there will be election lawsuits in 2024, that it's a liberal majority that hears them and not a conservative majority. And with the outcome of this race, we know that Janet Protasiewicz will be one of the seven justices who provides the final say on election lawsuits that are filed in state court.
A tough thing about talking about Supreme Court races, Sean, and I'm guessing covering them, is, you know, a lot of voters want to know what judges think of particular issues. Judges running tend to not want to say what they think about something they might have to rule on. They find subtle cues, like Protasiewicz talking about her values leading toward pro-choice, the Kelly campaign criticizing her, but sharing press releases when he got endorsed by the pro-life groups in the state for his judicial temperament, basically. I don't know. How do these candidates send their messages without saying, yeah, I'm going to vote this way on this issue when I'm on the court?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at the recent Democratic victories in Wisconsin, and I say Democratic, understanding that these are nonpartisan races and they do not run with an R or a D after their name, but the, you know, voters know, you know, which candidate is supported by which party. And if you look at the 2018 Wisconsin Supreme Court race, Rebecca Dallet won. She was the Democratic favorite. She talked about her values. She criticized President Donald Trump. You look at the 2020 race, Jill Karofsky won. She talked about her values, and, you know, they were Democratic values. She talked about public schools, said she was worried about, you know, gun safety, things like that. And then if you look at this year's race, 2023, I think Janet Protasiewicz took it up a notch. You know, she talked about her support for abortion rights. She called the Republican-drawn legislative maps rigged. I mean, those are very strong terms, and she did qualify it each time by saying, I'm not telling you how I'm going to rule in these cases, but she was very forthcoming with her personal beliefs on those issues. And, you know, there are voters out there who liked it a lot. They said, how am I going to know who to support in this day and age, in this hyper-partisan era, when they're not talking about what they're for? And so they were glad to hear Janet Protasiewicz say, I'm for abortion rights. But, you know, you look back on the court like 15 years ago when liberals lost the majority, their candidate, Lewis Butler, was the opposite. He did not want to talk politics when he was running. And, you know, you could say he paid a price for it. But I think Democrats have figured out a formula for what works in these April races. And it involves saying more where they stand on issues that appeal to Democratic voters.
We're going to talk about nonpartisan races tomorrow afternoon here on Central Time with Mordecai Lee and how they've become more partisan. Let's go to your calls now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Good afternoon. The groveling and pitiful so-called concession speech by Daniel Kelly was just a despicable and desperate display of the kind of person that under any circumstances should be barred from seeking election to the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. He really showed us what he is. Whether you support Protasiewicz or not, you know what that guy was about, and he was bad.
Tom, thanks for the call. A lot of attention to former Justice Kelly's comments at that event last night. Here's a listen, Sean.
And it brings me no joy to say this. I wish that in a circumstance like this, I would be able to concede to a worthy opponent. But I do not have a worthy opponent to which I can concede. This was the most deeply deceitful, dishonorable, despicable campaign I have ever seen run for the courts.
Sean, you and I have talked about a lot of elections over the years, a lot of hard-fought ones, some close ones. I don't think I've heard anything like this, except maybe Donald Trump to some extent. Apart, but for a Wisconsin candidate, I can't think of any precedent for statements like that after an election.
I can't either for a Wisconsin candidate, and I have been kind of thinking about it. Was there anything that I've ever heard like that? And I'm pretty sure the answer is no. I mean, it's not to say that there hasn't been bad blood between candidates on election night before, but typically the response to that is the losing candidate says very little, you know, a concession speech that says, wish it had gone the other way. Thanks for your support, even if they don't say anything about their opponent. In this case, that was a campaign speech, but the campaign was over. So no, I've not heard something like that before. That was a snippet of it. There were more examples too. He was very critical of Judge Protasiewicz. It followed with what he had said on the campaign too. So the campaign didn't end for Dan Kelly.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to WPR Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, looking at results from yesterday's statewide election. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll hear from more of you coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with WPR's Sean Johnson, Capital Bureau Chief, looking at results from yesterday's statewide election. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Andrew is with us in Seymour. Andrew, hi.
Hey, Rob. Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question about the District 8 state Senate seat and the effects that might have on impeachment trials, given that now apparently the Republicans have supermajority in the state Senate, and if that's a risk for Judge Janet to be impeached right off the bat before she even takes the seat.
Andrew, thanks for the call. Not just that, impeachment at other levels. People are concerned about Sean. What are you watching for there?
Yeah, so I will say this is kind of a new issue for me. And frankly, it's a new issue for everybody because we've never in Wisconsin impeached anyone since 1853. So, I don't remember that, Rob.
I wasn't there for that one, Sean.
No, we didn't do a Central Time segment on that one. But the way that impeachment works in Wisconsin is that it takes a majority vote in the assembly, and then it takes a two-thirds vote. It takes a majority vote in the assembly to impeach, and then it takes a two-thirds vote in the Senate to convict. And in the Senate, they now have two-thirds of the members are Republicans. And so, yeah, in theory, they could impeach state officers. And what does that mean? You know, that term, it means like governors, attorneys general, and judges. And just in a follow-up email with the state's Legislative Reference Bureau today, they said, yeah, it also includes justices. And so in theory, I believe, yes, the legislature could impeach justices. Now, what are lawmakers saying about that right now? What are Republican lawmakers saying about it right now? The Senate Majority Leader, Devin Lemieux, was asked today if they're going to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, and he said no. The, you know, Dan Knodel, the Republican senator who won that seat, was talking about it, and he's saying, you know, I don't want to impeach any justices on the court. And so it seems like this is something that, it, you know, if you take them at their word, is not going to happen in the near future. However, it is, as best as I can tell, a power that the Republican legislature now has that they didn't before they won this 8th district last night.
Thanks a lot for that call. Pat joins us now in Milwaukee. Pat, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Pat?
Well, I was listening earlier when you were talking about people voting and why they voted. And from my perspective, I've lived in Wisconsin my entire life. I don't belong formally. But I think that it's pretty clear that the citizens of Wisconsin...
You're breaking up, Pat. Our producer says you wanted to bring up gerrymandering as the issue that led you to vote the way you did. And Sean, let's talk about that now. Our political boundary lines in Wisconsin, they've made it to the state's Supreme Court and to the U.S. Supreme Court many times before. What are people looking at now with this new lineup of the Supreme Court in Wisconsin?
Well, we know that Justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz has said that the Republican Dong legislative maps are rigged and that she would like the court to take another look at those maps. And every indication is that she will get her wish. There's a 4-3 liberal majority on the court beginning August 1st when she takes office. And all it takes is somebody to file a lawsuit. And I'm not sure exactly what they'll challenge. You know, they've been some hints out there, but we'll know soon enough. And once it's in the court's hands, any number of things can happen. The court could order parties to submit new maps and then pick one, you know, much like happened in the last go-round with redistricting in 2021 when the Supreme Court took over the issue, and in 2022 when they eventually ultimately blessed the map passed by Republicans in the legislature with a new makeup of the court. You could see a similar process play out, but with different guidelines. You know, they could leave parties more open. They could tell parties to say, you know, like what they want to emphasize. And it, you could have a map that is more Democratic. I will say, like, because of the way the votes in this state are really clustered in Madison and Milwaukee, if it's a little trickier to just draw a 50-50 map, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of represent our state's politics, but certainly not impossible. And map makers are very clever people, and I imagine you'll get some very Democratic maps submitted to the court.
Thanks for that call, Pat. Art is with us now in Milwaukee. Art, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. So I'm wondering if abortion rights are reestablished in Wisconsin, and maybe it's 2 years from now, the next time there's a Supreme Court race, that issue is out of the way. I think it's maybe Justice Bradley, who leans towards the liberal side, seat is up. Can the Republicans take it back?
All right. Thanks for the call, Sean. Looking to the future there.
Yeah, that crossed my mind too, and I don't know, you know? I mean, I think that the issue is especially turbocharged right now. I mean, abortion's been a part of political campaigns for a long time, but obviously it's carrying more weight now, and I think that's an open question. If the court addresses that and, you know, we go back to kind of the reality before last summer, when there are still abortion restrictions in Wisconsin, but abortion is legal, would that kind of change the playing field? It might. I would also say, though, that this race was not just run on abortion. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on which media market you were in, you might have gotten different attack heads on Dan Kelly from the Protasiewicz campaign, you know, attacking him for being that they use the word extreme a lot. They attacked him for stuff that he wrote about in a blog a decade ago, where he was critical of Social Security. You know, not an issue that's going to come before the state Supreme Court, but an issue that makes potent television ads. So, you know, Democrats did have election success prior to the U.S. Supreme Court overturning Roe. So I don't think that you can chalk up this, the Protasiewicz win here, entirely to the abortion landscape, because in 2020, Jill Karofsky won by a similar margin. And in 2018, Rebecca Dallet also won by a similar margin, though in a much lower turnout election.
Thanks for that call. Time for one more call. John is with us in Appleton. John, hi.
Hey, thank you. Sean, please confirm that Governor Walker opened the gates toward huge, massive funding of these elections. Can you please confirm that? I think it was in 2015 or 16.
John, thanks for the call. Sean, changes I know happened to campaign finance laws in Wisconsin under the Walker administration. Do you remember what we saw there, and did it impact yesterday?
It changed the way that money flows. Yes, I think that like some of the outside groups that helped fund Dan Kelly's campaign are basically operating in a similar world that they were prior to that law. You know, if they run these so-called issue ads where they're like, you know, tell so-and-so to stop being so soft on crime, they can raise their money a different way. They can keep their donors private, all that. What Walker did, and with the help of the Republican legislature, they passed a law that let political parties raise unlimited amounts of money. And so like the Democratic Party, Republican Party too, but the Democratic Party's gotten really good at it. They can accept big donations, $1 million donations, you name it. And then they can transfer that money, unlimited transfers, to a candidate. And so they transferred all that money to Janet Protasiewicz. And that gave her the benefit of being able to control this large pot of money and buy ads as a candidate at lower rates than these outside groups than they pay. So her money went farther. And yes, it was due to a campaign finance law passed by the Republican legislature in 2015 and signed by former Republican Governor Scott Walker.
Sean, thanks as always for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. He joined us for a look at yesterday's statewide election results and what it could mean for the future of the state. Follow more coverage over at WPR.org.